Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day your daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, Do not bother me, the door is not shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and you will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's welcome Pastor Nathaniel.
All right. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Bearing this message, and I totally forgot it was Mother's Day. And this is almost more of a Father's Day message, but that's okay. There isn't as much about mothers in the Bible. There are stories, but we're going through Luke. And but you know what? I think God has a lot of attributes that a mother would have. And it's just set in the timing. It was a male predominant society, or like what the roles and the things and gender of God and things. People ask, oh, could God be a woman or a man? I don't like to get into that so much. God in the Bible is male, you know. But both male and female are created in his image, you know. And when I think about my parents and what they've taught me about God, my dad is a pastor. Some of you guys are just sharing about your moms. My mom's name is Jean. She's white. I think about my life growing up with my parents and what they've taught me about God. My dad is a pastor, and I believe that in many ways my mom taught me a lot more about God than my dad did, even though he's a pastor. And it's funny because I find that in my life, in comparison to all my siblings, I think I'm the most like my dad. And in some ways, I lack in a lot of, how would I say that? I'm pretty passive as a dad. Like, my dad is passive. And all the things that I've learned, the ways that I hope to be better than my dad, it's because of my mom. She's always the one who's shown me, not just through, like, it's not just teaching, you know, but it's through your life, the way that she loves, the way that she's able to apologize to me as a kid. I don't know if your parents have ever apologized, because that's kind of weird in Asian culture, you know. It's like, oh, it's too much shame, and like, I'll cut you some fruit, and I'll be nice to you, you know, but I don't say I'm sorry. But my mom would actually apologize and be like, you know, I was wrong, and do things like this. And these are ways that she showed me God's love in a way that I've never really experienced from my dad. And, yeah, I just want to, you know, now being married to my wife, who's also a mother, it's, I have a whole different appreciation and understanding of, like, all the things my mom has done and the sacrifices and the love that a mom has. And that's very reflective of the character of God. And so, yeah, happy Mother's Day. And I hope you can be reminded of God through your moms, and just what kind of unconditional love, right? But today's passage, we're talking through the Lord's Prayer. And this is probably, I've never thought about like, oh, what's my favorite passage? But it's kind of a weird question. But this would definitely be probably in my top three if I just randomly think of stuff. This is the, both from the Matthew account and the Luke account, this is probably by far the most passage that I've preached on ever in my preaching career. And I just love it. Every time I read it, I learn something new. But I just want to talk a little bit about what is prayer, right? Prayer seems like such a mystical, weird thing, and I understand this, especially when working with youth, because, you know what, even adults, a lot of you, if I asked you to pray out loud in front of people, you'd be like, not me, not me. You know? And like, don't look at me, don't pick me, and choose someone else. Just a couple Sunday schools ago, I was like trying, begging one of the kids to pray for our class. No, not me, not me, right? Not me. And it's going down the line, and the last one's like, I'll do it if no one else will. I'm like, no one else will do it. Yeah, you have to do it. And I know that's like youth, but I'm sure many of you adults would probably feel the same way. It's like, oh, there's this pressure. Like, and what is it about prayer, you know? It seems like, oh man, like I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not holy enough. I don't know what to say. I don't know what's the wrong or right thing, you know? And that's the thing I always try to tell people. It's like, it's not like a magic set of words, you know? It's really just talking or interacting. I would say like me or like talking with Jamie, like if that's kind of like prayer, except it's with God, you know? And so that's the weird part for people, I guess. But it's not that weird. It's just having a normal conversation. And God is a person like you are a person. I think that's something hard for people to grasp too. That's the very first thing I teach when I teach about prayer, is that God is a person. So in the same way I relate to another person, should be the same kind of way that I relate to God. It's not like, whoa, I'm like just trying to imagine something fake or like shouting things into the sky and hope my wishes are granted. And it's not like an eight ball. It's not some kind of like crazy mystery. No, he's a person. It's not that weird. And so praying is just like interacting. It's just talking. Something cool that I've been learning and I've kind of known, and maybe some of you guys have known your whole life, but it's just like praying to me is just like being aware of God's presence. Like right now, when I'm talking to you, like God's here with me. And just understanding that God's experiencing the things I'm experiencing and we're going through this together. You know, I can talk to him about this experience we're going through, or I don't have to. I can just be aware that he's here. That's praying. There's so many stories in the Bible where it doesn't say like Moses was praying, but Moses was talking with God. That's praying. When Abraham was pleading with God, God, if there's just 10 righteous people, will you save one of them? And God's like, okay. Like, it doesn't seem like prayer because he didn't go, dear God. He was just talking to him. And God was just talking straight back to him. That was prayer. It's just like there's another person in the room and he was talking. That's prayer. Why is it weird and why is it difficult? One of the big reasons is because God's invisible. Right? Sometimes you feel like, man, am I like talking to myself? You know? And that's, we'll get into that, but that's kind of up to you. You know? You believe in God, and you're talking to him, that's great, you know? You interact with him. But the big things we need to know, I think a lot of people have questions about, like, who are we praying to, and what are we supposed to pray for? I'm going to answer those questions through the message, but God is a person, okay? We're praying to somebody. We're talking with someone. And the reason why it's really difficult for most people to pray is because people don't know God. This is another lesson I do on prayer. Is any relationship you have, right? If you've met someone, you've never met them before, is it hard to talk to strangers? For me, it's really hard. Some of you guys are like, not so bad, but it's pretty hard, right? It's kind of awkward. And you know what? Your talk when you first meet someone is kind of awkward. You might talk about the weather. You might talk about their job or what school they went to. And it's very surface, very shallow, right? And so in many ways, when we talk to God, that might be your conversation with God because you don't really know Him yet. And that's okay. You know, you got to start somewhere. You got to break ground and you do what you can do in your conversations, you know? Hopefully when you meet a stranger and they start a conversation, you don't just like run away like, oh, I'm too scared, you know? Some youth are like that. But you try, you know? And that's all we're asking here. That's what prayer is. You're just talking. And you know what? And the more you talk with God, the closer and closer you're going to get. Just like any relationship you ever have in life. You right? Maybe it's easier for you guys to talk to just some of your family members because you spent your whole life with them. And it's like, you know, you got way past that awkward stage. And you can talk about really random, bizarre things that you wouldn't talk to a stranger to about, you know? That's how it works with God too, because He's a person. The more time you spend with Him, the easier it is to talk to Him. The more you have to relate to, the more things you have to talk about. And the reason why it might be difficult for some of you guys to pray is because you've never really built that relationship. You know? It's like you know facts and things about God, but you ever like just been like, God's right here in my presence. I can talk to Him about what I'm going through in life. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't even have to be like a serious prayer. Everyone thinks prayer is so serious. It's not. It's just a conversation. This ongoing relationship. And this is what it means to pray without ceasing. It's not like, oh man, I have to be on my knees and I have to be really quiet and I have to be thanking God for this and that and intercede and do all these. No, it's not like that. Praying without ceasing just means like, God's here in my presence. Always. I'm always aware that He's here. And everything I do, it's this interaction with God. That's prayer. Let's pray. And then we'll get into this section. Father, I thank You for this Mother's Day. I thank You for for being here. For God never forsaking us, never leaving us, never abandoning us. God, You are faithful. And You are a good Father, so much better than our earthly fathers, no matter how good they are. Even if we are to ignore You for the majority of our lives and leave You, and we are to forsake You, if we are like the prodigal son and take everything You've given us and just squander it, Lord, You are still there running after us with open arms. God, I pray that we could understand who You are, God, and that we wouldn't be afraid or scared of You, but Lord, that we would desire to be in Your presence. That we'd feel comfortable speaking to You and not to be ashamed or weirded out by it. I pray that prayer, that talking and being with You, interacting with You would be a sign of us being a healthy church at Canaan. Lord, that no matter what we're going through as a church, we will not waver knowing that You are in our presence, that You'll keep us strong, that You'll keep us firm in our faith. And so, Lord, we just pray that, that we could just spend each day with so much thankfulness and just each day just knowing that, God, You'll always be there and that You have our backs and that You care for us and love us. And so, Lord, we pray these things in Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Most of you guys know this prayer. Maybe not most. I shouldn't assume that. people always are like, oh, you know the Lord's Prayer. I didn't know the Lord's Prayer for a long time, okay? I've heard it, but I didn't really know it, okay? But you've probably heard this at some point in your life. And the more I read this, the more I really look into it, the more and more I learn. And one thing I learned in seminary, and one of my teachers said, is that there's 5 requests in this prayer. And the first one is the one that's often missed. It's, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Right? Most of us don't think that's a request. It's kind of like, oh, holy God, we're praying to you. No, it's actually hallowed be your name, not hallowed is your name. And so there's this request that, Lord, may your name be made holy. May the things I do in my life be pleasing to you. May it make your name holy. Right? That's the first request. And I believe that this is our purpose as creations of God. Being made in His image. We were made to make God's name holy. Like when people say, you know, we're made to glorify God. I think this is kind of like what it means. In our lives, we're supposed to reflect who He is. That's what it means to glorify God. It's like shining this light on Him. So in my life, when I do things, it should reflect who God is. May my work make His name holy. May my bearing children make His name holy. May my marriage make His name holy. May my school, whatever it is, may it all bring glory to God. May it make His name holy. That's the first thing we pray for. The second one is for His kingdom to come. Right? This is the goal. Alright? Our purpose kind of drives the goal. We want to make God's name holy, and a part of what that hope we hope for is that His kingdom would be here on earth. Right? That it spreads, that it's not just like as it is on earth as it is in heaven. I know that's the Matthew version, but that's expanding upon this, okay? It's like, that's the goal. May His name be so great, so holy, so magnificent that His kingdom just kind of spreads over the whole earth just like it's all over heaven. Lord, that's what we want. That's what we pray for. I pray that the kingdoms of this world, that the kingdoms that I chase after, money and wealth and riches and just fame and whatever I could go for, God, crush that and fill it with You. May it be Your fame and Your glory and Your riches. Give us our daily bread, right? Give us what we need to make these goals and these purpose a reality. We're physical beings and we need physical bread. And we have needs as people. God, may You be those needs for us. Meet those needs for us. Forgive us our sins, right? Allow us, you know what? We need these things, and even though this is our goal and our purpose, we're going to mess up. Because we're sinful beings, we are not God. We are lesser than God. But God, allow us to be able to do these things. Fix us, heal us, maintain us. And finally, lead us not into temptation. Right? Keep our focus set on You, because we are sinful and we will sin. And even though You forgive us, you know, even though I want Your kingdom, my mind gets distracted all the time. I'm not following You. I'm not following my goal and my purpose in life. And I'm going after my own purpose. I'm being tempted to be my own God, like Adam and Eve, right? Maybe I'll be wise like God. If I have this knowledge, I can be great and I can build my own kingdom. Keep me from that temptation. I believe that this isn't like a set prayer, like you have to say these exact words when the disciples are asking Him to teach us how to pray. I think what Jesus is saying is, here's a framework. Sorry, I'm a little bit sick. That's why my voice is a little raspy. But what Jesus is trying to say here is what we need to pray for is for God to be in every part of our life. like that idea of prayer without ceasing. It's like, may God be there. May you interact with Him. May He be your sole purpose. May He be your drive in why you do what you do in your life. May He be involved in your daily bread and your food and your work and these things. May He be involved in your relationships, that there be forgiveness of each other's sins. May He be the one that fixes you. May it not be based on your works. May He be your focus. May God be a part of everything that you do in your life. These are the things we should be praying for. We should be praying that God help me in every single decision that I make. May You be there. May You be present. And this is kind of getting into my first point, that Jesus is our all in all. Okay, Jesus is the answer to all five of these requests. God's name is made holy through Jesus. If we're not following Jesus, we're missing the purpose for our lives. We are not making God's name holy if we are not following Jesus. If you're following anyone else, if you're following yourself or following other leaders or rich, successful people, you've missed the purpose. And God's name is not being made holy. I don't care how many good works you do. If it's not for Jesus, if you're not following Him, you missed it. Your kingdom come. If Jesus is not the King, our goal is not achieved. If someone else is the King in your life, you missed it. Give us our daily bread. If Jesus is not the means to the end, we fail. If Jesus isn't the way that you get into heaven, you didn't get into heaven, you know? There's only one way. He is our daily bread. He is the means of how I get to the goal, how I get to my purpose. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Forgive us our sins. Without Jesus, there is no forgiveness. We will always remain broken. We'll never make it good enough. We'll always be caught in sin. We'll always deserve death. Unless Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. You want forgiveness. There's no other way to get forgiveness without Jesus. Lead us not into temptation. If Jesus isn't leading you, then what is? Who is leading you? I'm going to tell you that that's not leading to your purpose. It's not leading to the goal. You are not making it to the kingdom without the King. If you are following Jesus, you will not fall into temptation, because Jesus won't lead you there. Jesus is our all in all. When we're praying, and when we're praying for God to be every part of our lives, God is saying, yes, I will give you Jesus. And if you have Him, if Jesus is with you, if He's in your presence, if He is your goal, if He is your aim, and you're following this King, I don't care what you're doing in life. It might look weird to some people. I don't know what you'll be doing. It's not like one set path. Everyone's doing the exact same thing. But if you're following Jesus, I am certain of where you are going. It doesn't mean you have to go to a certain job. It doesn't mean like you have to read the Bible a certain amount. I don't know what that means. Okay, it's like just like prayer, you know, it's not a set fast rule. It's not like you have to say these certain things. It's this relationship. Prayer is just interacting with God. And similarly, you're just interacting with Jesus. And you know, as you spend your life with Jesus and He's taking you wherever you're going, you're just on this journey together. I could care less where you're going, but if you're with Him, I know it's good. That's my goal and my job as a pastor. I'm just trying to help you navigate through your life to do it with Jesus. I'm not trying to tell you, like, shape your life the way I want to shape your life. No, I don't know what God has in store for you for your life. But I'm guiding you to use whatever talents, whatever things you're doing in your life, to spend it with Jesus. And I couldn't be happier. That's it. Jesus is our all in all. That's the first point. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Right. The second point is that God is our Father. Okay. It's easy to mix up the point of the story. I see it all the time. Right? A lot of people are like, the whole point is that God is the friend, and if we just ask Him enough, if we just annoy God enough, you know, if we are persistent, God will give us what we want eventually. Don't stop praying, okay? And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We should pray all the time. Even if you think it's bothering God, I really don't think it's bothering God, okay? Just keep asking Him. That's great. That's a good lesson. We should do that. We should pray as much as we can possibly pray. Because prayer is just spending time with God. And any time you spend with God is good time spent. I truly believe that. Even if it's annoying. Okay? But that's not the point of the story. God is not the friend. If we see throughout this whole chapter, or through this whole section, God is the Father. Right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we're going to read this section in just a minute. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Okay, God is a Father. Alright. This is too much writing. We only need to look at that. God, right? Some of us, we don't like this image and this idea of God being a Father because we have bad fathers. I understand that. Okay? But we need to be able to picture what a good father is like. Just imagine your dad. Imagine how much better your relationship with him would be if he never got tired, never got cranky. Just those two simple things alone. Do you think your relationship with him would have been a lot better growing up? Like after a long day's work, he came home and he wasn't tired at all. What if he didn't get irritated so easily? What if he is really slow to anger? Do you think your relationship with your dad would be a lot better? I think so. You know, God is slow to anger, it says so in His Word. And what if on top of that, he just wasn't slow to anger? He wasn't just like not easily angered and wasn't tired and these things or irritated. What if he is actually really gentle? And really kind, loving, patient. He always had this joy about him. That sounds like a great dad, huh? And you know what? Your dads are probably really great too. And they do have sin. And that's the difference, you know? They do get tired. They do get irritated. And they get frustrated. And they get maybe angered quickly. We're saying, you know, God is not like that. He is our Heavenly Father, and He is a good, good, good Father. And this is the person that we're praying to, that we're talking with, you know? And so a lot of us, when we pray, we don't like praying to God because we're kind of scared. Maybe like how you're scared of your dads. And I've got to be really respectful and really on edge and make sure I don't mess up because otherwise he might get angry. I hope that's not what stops you from praying because God is nothing like that. He is so understanding. He's so slow to anger. You tell him about how he messed up, and I bet you he'd be so understanding. He might be even sad about what happened, how you got hurt. And he's going to try to comfort you and show you his love. And it's going to go so much greater and smoother than you ever could have imagined if you just give him the chance. I can't help but think about the prodigal son, right? If I was the dad and my son came back filthy and wasted all my money, it's all gone, I would be furious. I'm not running to him to hug him. I'm running him to beat his, you know. But that's not, I'm not God, you know. That this is the picture of a really good, loving father. That's who we want to be in the presence with. That's who we want to go through life with. That's who we want to interact with. Father, may your name be made holy because you are so good. I want to make your name holy. I wouldn't want to make a bad dad's name holy. I could care less. You know, I want to rebel. I want to go against him. And maybe some of you guys do that to your dad. You rebel against because I don't care about making his name great. He's so bad to me. You know, I want to be as far removed from him as possible. I don't want to be anything like him when I grow up. But God's not like that. I actually want his name to be made holy. In this story, God our Father should be compared to our friend. He is not the friend. He's being compared to the friend. So in this story, this person shows up in the middle of the night. And he shows up at his friend's house. And you know what? He's sleeping in the bed with his kids. And this guy's knocking on the door. It's like, hey, you know, that guy, I just put these kids down. They're all quiet and it's good. I have a son now, you know. It's like, don't ring the doorbell. You know, he's napping. And this person's coming and he's knocking. And it's like, I don't want to give him anything. I just want him to go away. But it says eventually he'll give him what he wants. It's not because he is his friend, but because of his impudence, because he's annoying that he gives him what he wants. Okay? He's saying, friends will give you what you want eventually because you're annoying. God will give you what you want because he wants to give it to you. Right? And I tell you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Right? There's a reason why this verse comes right after the story. Because there's a guy knocking at the door. And he's asking. And you know what? He does get what he wants. But he's saying, compare this person to God now. You knock, oh, the door is open like immediately. He's been waiting for you. Just as the prodigal son, he sees you from far off. He's like, oh, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, you know? And he's not just like, oh, yeah, you know, like, ah, oh, like this is a bad time. No, God's ready for you. This is why we should pray, because God is eager to be with you. He's not like eager to scold you or beat you, you know? He's just like, he wants to be with you. Ask and you will find. Or ask and it will be given, right? The things you're praying for, it's like God wants to give it to you. You seek and you will find. God is so much greater than this friend or our friends on this earth. He is this holy Father. And this is the final section. What father among you, if he asks his son for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? This is the other part about God being our Father, right? He's, just like he was being compared to the friends, now he's being compared to our fathers. Okay? If our evil, wicked fathers know how to do good things for us still, right? If I ask for like an egg, I'm going to get an egg, okay, from my dad, not a scorpion or a snake. It's such a weird analogy. It makes perfect sense if you think about it, right? It's like he's saying even how bad our fathers are, they still know how to do things right, okay? They can still do some good things. No matter how bad they are, right? None of them are giving you scorpions and snakes, right? even the worst, I don't, maybe this isn't the point the author should make, but even the worst, worst fathers, they still at the very least do some things, right? Like, might clothe you, they might feed you, right? Like, they still know how to give the things that you need. How much more will our Heavenly Father do us? How much more will our Father who is slow to anger, how much more will our patient, kind, loving Father do for us than our evil, wicked, earthly fathers? God is our Father. This is who we pray to. And this is my final point, okay? We need the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by our Heavenly Father gives better gifts, okay? I don't mean that if my earthly father would give me a loaf of bread, that God would give me 2 loaves of bread, okay? If my dad is willing to pay for my college, that God's going to give me so much money, like 2 colleges worth, okay? Like, that's not the point. I actually think there's a greater point being made, that God is being compared from earthly fathers to heavenly fathers, okay? Our earthly fathers give us good earthly gifts. Our heavenly Father gives us good heavenly gifts, okay? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who will ask of Him? A part of me thinks that in this section, what he's kind of saying is, I understand we have earthly physical needs. And you know what? Our earthly fathers, a lot of times, meet those earthly needs. But we also have spiritual needs. Because we are also spiritual children. In a lot of ways, our earthly fathers can't meet those spiritual needs. And so we need a heavenly spiritual father. And if my earthly father knows how to give me good earthly gifts, how much more will my heavenly father know how to give me good heavenly gifts? And so in one sense, I believe this is what we're supposed to pray for. We're supposed to be praying about spiritual things, heavenly things. These are the things we should really be concerned about. These should be the things that we're asking the Father for. Because He's a Heavenly Father, and I can't get these things anywhere else. God, unlike our friends, doesn't give us the things we need begrudgingly, but He gives it freely. Okay? When we ask for the spiritual things, when we ask for the Holy Spirit, it will be given. The door will be opened. You seek and you will find it. Have you asked God for something and not received? Doesn't it say ask and you will receive, right? We've all prayed for something before and didn't get it, right? So how does this verse work? God, I want an A on tomorrow's test. Oh, got a C. You know? Did I ask? How come I didn't get it? I didn't receive. God, I need this promotion. Or whatever. And we're praying for these things, right? And I wonder if we've been maybe asking for the wrong things. Right? What should we be asking our Heavenly Father for? We should be asking our Heavenly Father for heavenly things. Right? Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask God's name to be made holy. Ask for His kingdom to come. Ask for a daily bread. Ask for forgiveness. Ask to be led from temptation. These are all spiritual things. And when you ask for these things, you will receive it. I 100% believe that. You ask for forgiveness, you will get forgiveness. Every single time. God is so eager to give it to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened. Ask and you will receive it. you want my name to be made holy? This very act that you're doing right now is making my name holy. This prayer, I will give that to you. You want my kingdom? My kingdom is yours. I'll give it to you. Have my son Jesus. He is the king. He is yours. I give my son to you. Ask and it's yours. You want me to meet your daily needs? You need the means to make this work. To have a life that you enjoy with peace and goodness and patience and all the fruits of the Spirit. It's yours. I give it to you. You don't want it to be based off your hard work and your efforts anymore. You want it to be solely on my grace and on my son Jesus. I give it to you. You don't have to be burdened by the things of this world anymore. It's yours. You want to be led from temptation? Just you praying to God is being led from temptation. It's leading you into the path of righteousness. Ask for Him and He will give you Him. God will not deny us His Spirit. He will never deny you His Son Jesus. Ask for these spiritual things and He will give you these things. Why should we ask for the Holy Spirit? Because He points us back to Christ. He reminds us of our purpose. He reminds us of our goal. He groans in our behalf when we're starving, when we're hurting. He leads us to the cross for forgiveness. The Holy Spirit, He leads you to Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. If you read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, it's always pointing back to Christ. He's always guiding us and leading us and teaching us. And He's teaching you about your purpose. He's teaching about your call. It talks about the Spirit groans for you. It groans with the earth. It feels the pains and the sufferings of this world. And it's crying out to God. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray for these things naturally from the Lord's Prayer. That's what it does. Ask for the Spirit and the Spirit will be given to you. He keeps our focus on track with Christ. I hope you guys could kind of catch on that this is a very Trinitarian kind of passage. Right? We have the Father, who's the one that gives us all, our Heavenly Father, that gives us all the spiritual needs that we need. And Jesus is kind of the means of what helps us meet all of those needs. He covers all of it. There's forgiveness. There's your daily bread. It's how God's name is being made holy. A really cool part that I've learned about the Lord's Prayer too is when it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How would the kingdom be here on earth like as it is in heaven? What's the difference between heaven and earth? God is the king in heaven. So may your king rule on earth like there's a king ruling in heaven. In a sense, we're praying for the Lord's second coming. We're praying, "Lord, send someone to rule on earth." I'm praying for Jesus to come here. And God's saying, "I will give that to you." God gives, and Jesus meets our needs. And the Holy Spirit points back to God and Jesus. He's helping you refocus and saying, "Look, this is who you are now. You are spiritual beings. You're a new creation. This is your life. This is your purpose. This is your calling." And the Holy Spirit will always lead you and guide you back to that. Ask, it will be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, may your name be made holy through this church, through Canaan. God, that's another thing about this prayer, is that it's a corporate prayer. Our Father, lead us, God. God, we pray that as a group, Lord, that through us, as a family, as a unit, as a one body, Lord, that your name be made holy. God, that your kingdom would be made known, that you would be the king of this church, that you would be the king of our lives, and that we would follow you and be servants of you. Father, we pray that you would forgive us, all of us, of our sins. That God, that we would forgive each other of the sins of how we wrong each other. Lord, we pray that you would be our daily bread. That God, we would understand that it's not based on our works or our merits, that it's not, that there's nothing we could do apart from your Son Jesus. So Lord, we pray that we would daily be eating of him, being in his presence, that we would always turn to him to be our source of life. And Father, we finally just pray that you would lead us from temptation. That God, there are so many things in this world that look pleasing to the eye, that taste good, and God, that can make us seem more powerful or knowing or smart or whatever it is, Lord, but we pray that those wouldn't be the things that we seek. That we would follow after the path of your Son, Jesus. That we would pick up our crosses and follow him to death. And more importantly, follow him to a new life. A life of the Spirit. A life that is fully pleasing to you, that makes your name holy. And we pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.